Talk 790 WNIS welcoming Hemp Haven to a brand new time slot on our radio station. You've heard Dr. Denise Foster before, perhaps in the morning with Tony McCraney, perhaps on Saturday mornings with myself, or on my show Saturdays noon till 1. Well, Dr. D will now be on the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. Live, we are live, we are local. Here on News Talk 790 WNIS, Dr. Denise Foster from Hemp Haven, new location. 726 Caratoke Highway, Route 168 in Moyock, North Carolina. And her website, same site as before, Hemp Haven Wellness, talking all things cannabis, all things CBD, and whatever else comes up. Hello, Dr. D.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm so excited.
We're going to have to get used to saying good afternoon. I almost messed up and said good Saturday morning because I'm so used to seeing you on Saturday morning.
Oh, so, it's wonderful.
Nice new time slot we have here for the Hemp Haven show. Hopefully bringing it to a bigger audience, and hopefully bringing the word that cannabis is medicine to a bigger audience as well.
This is the most exciting time for me as a cannabis nurse, and we've talked at length about how cannabis nurses are now in every community, and we're a legitimate subspecialty of nursing. And my ability, my research, my interactions with the public lately through Hemp Haven in our new location, or from our old location when we were on Kempsville Road, this is where cannabis nurses are really starting to assist in, first most, the educational aspect of cannabis as medicine. If you're new to listening about cannabis and what I talk about and what we do at Hemp Haven, it's really very simple. We go back all the way to 2003 when the United States Department of Health and Human Services was awarded a patent on cannabis as medicine. As a nursing, as a professional nurse, I should say, for 40-plus years, and as a nursing professor for 20 of those years, I was always teaching my nursing students that cannabis was a drug of abuse until I discovered the government owns the patent on it as medicine. They were awarded a patent in 2003 for cannabinoids. Fancy word. You're going to hear us talk about that a lot. Fancy word for cannabis.
There are many of them.
There are over 150 cannabinoids. You will hear a cannabinoid under the category THC is, of course, the bad boy. CBD is the one getting all the love. But these are two of just the 150 cannabinoids. And then in 2003, the United States Department of Health and Human Services was awarded a patent for these compounds, cannabinoids, as antioxidants and neuroprotectants. This floored me, and it actually gave me the idea that we need to begin using these research that was developed to provide this patent and then move it into the mainstream, move it first into education. My start as a cannabis nurse was over 10 years ago, but it was in 2018 that the National Council of State Boards of Nursing and CSBN, this is the professional organization that is mandating and regulates and administers the nursing boards in every state. In 2018, the NCSBN published their national nursing guidelines for medical marijuana. This made nursing profession the first and to date the only profession that recognizes that cannabis is a phenomenon. And we now have 70%, over 70%, much closer to 80% of our population in the United States that has access to legal cannabis in the states, including, well, kind of including Virginia. We'll talk about that because we're still having a little hard time getting those launched in Virginia.
In limbo.
It's sitting in limbo.
Limbo.
So, this is where, again, we have a majority of our population has access to a legal product that is regulated at the state level. And we also have adult use dispensaries. We have approximately 24 adult use dispensaries in the United States. And we have 40 states that have medical marijuana, including Virginia. So the NCSBN in 2018 recognized that things have to change. And what better profession, what better encounter, I should say health encounter, than being with a nurse who is obviously very in tune with what you need holistically. Nurses are the ones that are there 24/7 in the hospitals. We're there at the patient's bedside.
Yep.
But now that the cannabis nurses are in the community, we actually have mandates to first educate not only our population. That's what we do at Hemp Haven, is you have the ability to provide free consults, cannabis consultations, and we'll talk about that in a minute. So our first duty as cannabis nurses is education. Second duty is advocacy. We're going to advocate for safe use, safe products, lab-tested products. That's my number one concern in the community, is that because Virginia is keeping adult-use dispensaries on hold, in limbo, we now still have an illicit market, a market where you are not able to do the lab testing and you're not able to identify an age, right? How can we card you when you're buying it in the back alley? Or how can we test it so you don't know that it's laced with something deadly, something inappropriate? So we advocate, we educate, and then, of course, in our dispensary model, we coach. Because in 2023... stemming off the National Council of State Boards of Nursing, the American Nursing Association finally recognized, formally recognized, that cannabis nurses are now a legitimate subspecialty of nursing. We have a special knowledge that goes beyond what we have as far as our own training and our own experience and knowledge and education as nurses. And I actually offer a course for this twice a year. And many of my cannabis nurses who work with us in the dispensary, they've taken the course because this gives the additional knowledge based on the research and the science that have come after over 80 years of research. So I first began my cannabis nursing journey over 10 years ago, and I kind of was given some really shady looks, like, what are you doing over there, right? But now that we are recognized as a legitimate subspecialty, and we have these models in which we are first trying to educate not only our population, but also our health peers as well.
Yeah.
Doctors have to know this, physical therapy, massage therapy, pharmacists. We all, mental health counselors, we get a lot of pain management referrals. We get a lot of oncology / cancer referrals to our dispensary now because people are asking questions, and our healthcare practitioners right now are kind of in limbo as well. As long as cannabis is sitting at the federally illegal level, and now we're talking medical marijuana or recreational marijuana, marijuana as a plant still sits on Schedule 1. The federal government looks at marijuana because of its high THC compound, its high THC concentrations, and they still deem it as a illegal substance with no medical value. But yet, contrast that with the fact they own the patent on it.
And 40 states have medical marijuana.
And 40 states in direct conflation with the states.
Yeah.
So this is an untenable situation. And I try to ignore the noise because this is a very, it's not an industry for the faint of heart. We had to leave Virginia ourselves because of I was threatened with some terrible fines and jail time.
Yeah.
Because I'm such a dangerous person, a cannabis nurse working in the community, providing safe lab-tested products that are derived federally legal from hemp, hence the name Hemp Haven.
Yes.
Hemp and cannabis, just a little background on the different plants. Marijuana is, of course, the one that is sitting on the illegal substances list at the federal level because of the THC concentration. And I'm sure there's not a week that goes by that you're not hearing something about marijuana. Right now, itself is sitting in limbo at the DEA level. The DEA last year, just about a year ago, was petitioned and was voicing their decision to begin moving cannabis, marijuana-type cannabis, off of Schedule 1 and moving it down to Schedule 3. Now, Schedule 3 is where we have our opioids. Schedule 3 is where we have, for instance, our anabolic steroids, your testosterone, or things that are anabolic steroids that could potentially interfere with health. Those are found at Schedule 3. So the DEA is right now in limbo as a year later, we're still waiting on what that is going to look like at the federal level. And if that moves, I anticipate it will. But when and if that moves, that's going to upset a whole nother paradigm. When I talk about cannabis and what I do and what we are doing in Hemp Haven is we're actually looking at hemp-type cannabis. Hemp is a cousin to marijuana. They both contain the cannabinoids that I mentioned earlier, except they contain them in different concentrations. Where marijuana is high in THC, that's the impairing, intoxicating compound, hemp is very low in THC, and in fact, it was in 2018 that the Farm Bill was enacted. We know this formally as the 2018 Agriculture Improvement Act, and this is the act that carved hemp off of the controlled substance list, where it shared its position with marijuana. And in the 2018 bill, as long as hemp meets the federal definition, which means it's less than 0.3% Delta 9 THC by dry weight, it is now classified as hemp and federally legal. And once I recognize that I now can help my marijuana patients, when I was working in early in marijuana science and helping medical marijuana patients, the number one thing they complained about was being high.
They wanted the medical effects of marijuana, but they didn't want to have to be stoned to get them.
That's exactly right, because that's what you get with marijuana. Marijuana does really have its purpose. It can be a relaxing, a sleepy, and a stoning compound, because we now have the understanding that it is the THC molecule that is the only impairing compound.
Right.
When you tease, when you remove the THC out of the equation, this is where hemp is now, I hate to say this, it's overtaking marijuana. Marijuana industry hates hemp. Why? Because we can extract these other cannabinoids, like CBD, out of the hemp plant, because you're not going to find a lot of CBD in marijuana. The most that you're going to find in marijuana is your THC, which is why it causes impairment. My medical marijuana patients were looking for relief from pain, muscle spasms and seizures. They were looking for relief of nausea and vomiting. They wanted sleep. Some of my cancer patients that I worked with, of course, they're looking for the munchy effect from marijuana because they need an appetite. But outside of those conditions, they did not want to be stoned. They did not want to be impaired. They have jobs. They have families. They have little children. They need to drive to soccer practice. So my biggest challenge in working in marijuana was that I could not keep them from being impaired because of the marijuana plant's concentrations of THC. Then the Farm Bill was passed. I said, bingo. Now I know how I can keep my patients, if they choose, clients now, if they choose to interact and potentially recommend products that can help them not be impaired, but yet address numerous health conditions, because the science is just expanding exponentially. We are now to the point in our research level, we had already spent 80 years researching it as a drug of abuse. The government focused on how is cannabis, all types, including hemp, harmful. So we have a lot of research that shows how it's harmful. And the number one compound that's harmful is, you guessed it, THC. In 2022, something historic happened in cannabis just per se. In 2022, President Biden at that time, it was his term, he signed into law the medical marijuana and cannabidiol, that's a CBD, Cannabidiol Research Expansion Act. This was historical for us in the cannabis industry for two reasons. The first reason was that it was the first cannabis bill that had been signed by a sitting president since Nixon. President Nixon signed into law the Controlled Substance Act in 1970. Do you think there's been a lot of changes in cannabis since 1970? The answer is, of course, absolutely. Driving it into the illicit prohibited market has created its own risks. And this, again, is where we're in limbo in Virginia, where we're being gaslit that, oh, marijuana is dangerous. Why is it dangerous? Because our people have to buy it in back alleys where it's untested and we don't know what's in it and we don't know the age that you are. They're allowed to purchase it. So this is where the science has been advancing rapidly. But yet the regulations are still stuck in 1970 with President Nixon's Controlled Substance Act. So it was historical that it now brought cannabis into the present day. This act did two things, and this is the second thing that was historical. First, it removed the liability from physicians to even discuss cannabis with their patient population. because we live in the schizophrenic United States of cannabis, where it sits at the controlled substance level one, schedule one, no medical value, doctors, nurse practitioners, PAs, they were very reluctant to even discuss cannabis with their patient population because now they're under suspected, you know, rules violations, ethical violations. It would have been the same as a healthcare practitioner saying, oh, I'll just recommend something else on schedule one, like heroin. Right? Go out and get some heroin.
Yeah.
I don't recommend that. But this is the fear that physicians and other healthcare practitioners had to even discuss cannabis with their patients. So we turned a blind eye. We ignored it. This law that President Biden signed in to act removed that liability. And so if you're listening out there and you've been wondering about cannabis and you've asked your doctor before, well, laws have changed. And the laws have changed to reflect that now we have to bring our healthcare professionals on board and first, of course, educate them. And if they are not educated, they can refer to cannabis nurses like me or cannabis nurses that work and are staffed in our dispensary. The second thing that this law did in relation to flipping the focus of, again, we're looking no liability at the physician side, but we're also now looking at the other side of that, which is what are we going to use to help our population, and that's research. This law was monumental for research, and that's where I live as a researcher. This law flipped the focus from how is cannabis a drug of abuse to how is it a drug of wellness. And now we pretty much have about 300 studies being published every month. And this is not a United States phenomenon. I'll have to say this is a global phenomenon. This is happening all over the world as more and more countries have either legalized and allowed hemp to be part of the national industrial uses, including medicine, or many countries have legalized cannabis in one form or another. Both our neighbor to the north, Canada, and our neighbor to the south, Mexico, they both have medical and adult use recreational marijuana. So we are in this extreme paradigm shift, and we're focused on, in my opinion, the wrong thing. We're focused on THC and how it's bad. It can be bad, absolutely. This is where we attribute our substance abuse disorder, our cannabis use disorder. Those familiar in the hospital or healthcare systems know that we have cannabis hyperemesis syndrome, we have tolerance. So these are the issues where THC is the bad boy for sure, but cannabis nurses are here now in the community to help navigate that bad boy, to help reduce that risk related to either impairment or intoxication. We don't need impaired drivers. We don't need you to be impaired while you're working at the shipyard. You can use cannabis and not be impaired, and especially if you're looking to use it for specific conditions, because with this new research opening up focused on what conditions are appropriate for cannabis use, I'd have to say, to date, we can't find a condition to where it's not useful. And this is so exciting for me as a nurse of 40 years, for the nurses, the cannabis nurses who work with me and have learned about how we can recommend and educate regarding these products safely and appropriately, keeping in mind that most of our population who is using medical marijuana is over age 60. AARP just did a study last year, and they polled their members, their AARP members, and they found that over 77% of their members in AARP have access to medical marijuana and are using it for numerous conditions, the number one being sleep. Sleep. So when you understand the science behind these compounds, like I've spent the last decade invested in understanding it, because nurses, we are here and we want to do one thing. We want to heal. We want to help. We want to educate. We want to advocate for you, the person receiving health care. And we are basically your last line of defense in that, because we deliver the health care. We are the ones educating, and we now know that, look at our healthcare system now. Something was very disruptive a few years ago, and the trust levels. You know, the circle of trust for the healthcare industry has plummeted, along with many other industries, and our nurses are struggling. And so that's why, again, I'm looking for cannabis nurses. I'm educating cannabis nurses, and I've actually launched our first telehealth for cannabis nursing. It's our Cannabis Nurse Health virtual free consultation services. You and I, Lee, have been working together for years in my dispensary, and now online or through the phone, you can either meet in person or schedule a free cannabis consultation. And we even have some Saturday openings now because we have such a demand of people just asking questions.
Yeah, right.
They want to know the truth. They want to know what's going on. I thought cannabis in my generation, I'm 60 years old, in my generation, it was just say no.
Same with mine. I'm 32 as of yesterday, and I can we were dare.
Yes, dare to keep your kids off drugs.
We were the last vestige, I guess, of the just say no campaign, if you will.
The boomer generation, like myself, not only are we the consumers now of cannabis, because we're now using medical marijuana for those conditions that are ailing us at the old age spectrum. But when you look at the other end of the spectrum, the younger adults are now also turning to cannabis. They're substituting cannabis for alcohol and tobacco. This is the generation that may have been introduced to other pharmaceuticals even during their primary education. For instance, you know, I'm sure you know kids who have been on anti-anxiety medicines and antidepressants and ADD medications. These are where the cannabinoid compounds, and I'm going to say here, not THC, because THC is really only for those conditions I mentioned, or to get you high.
Right.
It's the other 149 cannabinoids that we are so excited to learn about because we're learning how they work in the body. Another phenomenon that is not well known and that they don't teach in medical school or nursing school is that our body has a system. It's called the endocannabinoid system. The endocannabinoid system is more akin to, let's say, the endorphin system. We know the endorphin system in the body is how our body manages pain. The endocannabinoid system is our body's own system that interacts with these compounds because our body makes these compounds. Let me repeat that. Did you know that our body makes a form of THC? In the molecular world, when it was discovered in the 1980s, the pharmacologist researcher who discovered this THC-like compound called it anandamide. Why did he call it anandamide? Well, ananda in the language Sanskrit language means bliss. So we now have a link, a physiological link, to understand that when you get the runner's high, it's the best day of your life, right? You're attending a wedding, a birth of a baby. That is the cannabinoid that your body makes that interacts with the same receptor that cannabis does. The science behind this is just phenomenal. And I have to say it works. And this is where we'll talk about the research.
And don't forget, Dr. Denise Foster and myself, you can listen to the podcast. We do a podcast. It's posted every Wednesday, new episodes every Wednesday on all major platforms. Search for Cannabis Nurse Truths. That is the name of it. You can also go to the website, CannabisNurseTruths.com. Dr. Denise Foster from Hemp Haven Wellness Dispensary. The website, HempHavenWellness.com. The phone number, 252-340-3557. And her new location, now open 7 days a week in Moyock, just below the Virginia-North Carolina border. Her new address, 726 Caratoke Highway, Route 168 down in Moyock, North Carolina. More on the way from News Talk 790 WNIS. News Talk 790 WNIS live on a Thursday evening. I'm Lee Foster. Dr. Denise Foster is with us from Hemp Haven Wellness. in Chesapeake, formerly 480 Kempsville Road, and for a little while longer, but the new spot down in Moyock, just below the Virginia-North Carolina border, the address 726 Caratoke Highway on Route 168, just below the border, Moyock, North Carolina, and that website, HempHavenWellness.com. Dr. Denise Foster is your cannabis nurse.
Yes. Well, I'm a little schizophrenic right now. I have to keep my store open in Chesapeake for a while, but I have to abide by Virginia rules. So it's a little, it's not as populated as it used to be, but we're still open for convenience. But you're going to find most of our products, and definitely if you wanted to talk to a cannabis nurse for your free consultation, you got to come down to Moyock, or you can now do it via telehealth, via phone or virtual. And if you go to the website, hemphavenwellness.com, you can actually check it out, and you can sign up and schedule your free consultation right there from the website. This is something that has been gaining momentum as people are listening to news and wondering what is all the hubbub because they're talking marijuana. Well, hemp is already legally available. And in our dispensary model, where we've been working for the last 5 years with our Hampton Roads community, we ship, we deliver. The farthest I've shipped is Alaska and Hawaii. So we are now in the processes of developing more of our client base locally as we hopefully reach more of our cannabis population that is interested to discuss what does this phenomenon mean and how can I use it safely and appropriately. This is the science that cannabis nurses use in practical terms. We call this evidence-based practice. This is where we're looking at all this evidence coming out about cannabis. And we're now to the point where we can identify which compounds are harmful and which compounds are helpful. Now we're to the point where we are looking at dosing parameters. We're looking at protocols. We're looking at what cannabinoids, like CBD, could potentially help in what conditions. So the science has moved because of this law. Remember that President Biden signed into 2022. We're now into this notion that cannabis is so in depth, and because it interacts in the body with the endocannabinoid system, it can influence almost every physiological process in the body. One thing that I needed to point out as we understand how cannabis works as a science, the endocannabinoid system has one major purpose in the body. We know what the central nervous system does. Well, that guides your thoughts, your pains. It guides, you know, everything from autonomic processes like breathing and heart rate and, you know, the decisions to, you know, drive off a cliff. The endocannabinoid system has one purpose, and that is to regulate and balance the body's own homeostasis. Fancy word for saying it keeps your body in tune with what's going on in both the internal environment and the external environment. So when you get hot, It's the endocannabinoid system that's turning on all the physiological processes that can help cool your body. When you develop a disease, it's the endocannabinoid system that's helping your body use whatever resources it has to eradicate or reverse that disease. The best way to think about the endocannabinoid system is a cut. Everyone gets a cut somewhere on their body over a few days, depending on the size and the location of the cut, maybe weeks. That cut will eventually heal itself. Your body repairs that. Well, it's the endocannabinoid system that's orchestrating all of that physiological work. And that's why science is now able to explain why you can use cannabis. Some people may be very sensitive. We're looking at this as a potential cannabis allergy. We do know that at least 1% of our population has a cannabis allergy. Like they might have an allergy to peanuts.
Yeah, it makes sense. It is a plant, after all.
It's a plant. Yeah. It comes from the ground. And yeah. So there are going to be people who are sensitive to it. But we also know that there are reasons why it can both help with things like anxiety, which is more of a mental, psychological wellness aspect, and it can help in seizures. That's your physical aspect. So the question that we had as researchers from the perspective of cannabis is, how can it do all of this? And does it really do all of this? Well, now we're drilling down into the actual physiological processes. So some of the research coming out, I'm going to highlight just a few studies today because yes. I bring this, and this is, again, the evidence-based practice. I'm loving my job now as a cannabis nurse because I get to read all of these wonderful research articles so that you don't have to. I just bring the highlights. And again, when we are interacting with our clients in our dispensary and giving them their free consultations, we base all of our recommendations on the science that's coming out. This particular study was published just last month, and it showed that CBD, now remember, this is the non-impairing compound, CBD reduces epileptic seizures at twice the rate of a placebo. They found that patients, especially patients who have maybe become resistant to some of these anti-epileptic drugs, these are very extreme drugs, and some patients will eventually become resistant, which necessitates a move or an addition of additional central nervous system drugs to try to calm that seizure effect. Well, this particular research that was published just last month showed that 40% reduction in seizure activity alone using CBD all by itself compared to placebo. So we gave you nothing and it didn't work, but we had 40% reduction in seizures just giving you with CBD. This is anecdotal evidence that I have supporting in my dispensary work. I've worked with clients who have had that problem where they have reached the end of the line when it comes to seizure medication and nothing is working anymore. And their breakthrough seizures are getting more frequent. And this is an interruption to the quality of life. You can't work, you can't drive, you can't function when you're having a seizure. And every seizure creates more harm in the brain, more danger, more risk in the brain. So if we have evidence that says that we can use a low dose as 10 milligrams per kilogram, we are now treating some of the most severe seizure disorders with this. And I have to mention here that it's not a known fact that the FDA has already approved two synthetic cannabinoid drugs. Let's go all the way back to 1985. Even though cannabis THC that comes from marijuana was banned on the controlled substance list in the 1970, in 1985, the FDA approved a synthetic THC and called it Marinol. This is where I began my confusion as a nurse, going, wait a minute, I'm delivering synthetic THC, but you're supposed to teach your patients not to smoke the THC, which is all we had back in the 70s and 80s and 90s. So this is where the synthetic form of marijuana, THC, is good on Schedule 3. It is a Schedule 3 drug, and Marinol is FDA approved for the treatment of chemotherapy-induced nausea and vomiting. So we already have synthetic THC on the books, but coming from the plant, it's bad. Well, in 2018, the FDA approved a synthetic CBD. And since 2018, the FDA approved Epidiolex. Epidiolex is a CBD-based medication that is administered and approved by the FDA for children over 1 year of age who have these uncontrollable seizure disorders. These are seizure disorders for these children that may cause up to 600 seizures a day. So, of course, we want to find something that is extremely, A, safe, but B, effective. And we found it. And we called it Epidiolex. So FDA approved Epidiolex in 2018, and these children who have been using Epidiolex are now living to adulthood, giving us more evidence that CBD alone, non-impairing, non-intoxicating, is significant and safe enough to be effective on some of these most dangerous, harmful pediatric seizure disorders. And now these children are living longer lives. We also now, because of this type of model, we now have dosing parameters for CBD, knowing that the most that you can use per day is 6,000 milligrams. The most that I recommend per day in our cannabis nurses, we start you at 25 milligrams. So this is a concern or a condition, a concept we call microdosing. It's why you take 1 to 2 Tylenol and not the whole bottle of Tylenol.
Use as little as you need.
And then we're working with you to find that in baseball it would be called the sweet spot.
Right.
These compounds are going to interact with your endocannabinoid system. And in this case, these compounds were so effective that some of the study participants became seizure-free just using CBD. So this is an exciting time, knowing that CBD is available in every state. Why? Because it is a non-impairing, non-intoxicating compound that provides benefits. In fact, 2018, the World Health Organization declared CBD as one of the safest, most effective drugs in the world. But we don't talk about that side because we talk about the bad boy,
right?
THC. Another exciting study that came out that I need to mention today, because today is Autism Awareness Day.
Yes.
April is Autism Awareness Month.
And you're going to be coming on my show at some point this month.
To talk about autism.
To talk about autism.
We have a lot of research on autism and cannabinoids because we have found that in autistic individuals, their endocannabinoid system is dysfunctional. So now we're almost, I can't say 100%, but we're now pointing it in a direction that we can maybe understand what is driving these symptoms related to autism. Okay, is it the vaccines that's been all in the news? Is it environmental toxins? Is it the food? We can't put our finger on it, but we do know what it does. It causes extreme irritability and inflammation in the neurological system. Well, remember what the government owns the patent on it for? Neuroprotection and antioxidation. That means it reduces oxidative stress, which is what's driving inflammation. This is a study, again, that was published just last month. And this particular article was published in the journal Curious, C-U-R-E-U-S. It's a medical journal. And what this publication found was that CBD-rich cannabis, offers potential benefits for people with autism spectrum disorder. I'm going to add this in my little toolbox for autism, because we do have several clients who are working with our cannabis nurses to treat their autistic children. First of all, in no way, shape, or form would we ever recommend a THC product to a child.
Sure.
I go at length about why we don't like THC for children under 25, let alone a pediatric child age. But when we consider that the non-impairing, non-intoxicating compounds like CBD can provide benefits, now this has opened up a whole new option for parents who are looking for some solutions, because really at this point there are no good pharmaceutical solutions, I should say, for treating autism. We really focus on treating the symptoms related to autism. So in this study, it found that it has improved benefits related to decreasing anxiety, decreasing irritable type behaviors such as self-harm, injurious behavior, reducing hyperactivity and agitation. These are some of the most extreme conditions related to autism on the spectrum. CBD in this study also showed that it helped these children with their communication skills, attention, focus, and eye contact.
Wow.
Okay, what separates an autistic individual maybe on the spectrum from just a person who doesn't have autism? And a lot of that is eye contact, the ability to interact socially, the ability to react to just frustration.
Right.
And
processing emotion.
Processing. So when you think about how these CBD compounds, and I can pair them with several other compounds that we already know are very helpful in autism for these types of behaviors, now we can offer parents not a solution, but we can definitely point them in a direction to say, have you spoken with your pediatrician? Have you spoken with your neurologist or whomever is helping you, your behavior, your ABA therapist, whoever has been helping you with your autism treatment plan? Now we have another tool potentially to use. And again, we're back to, we have to educate our healthcare providers. We have to educate the people who are interacting with these clients, such as parents who are looking for solutions for their children who may be experiencing autism. This is just a small slice of populations that are more and more becoming dissatisfied with the healthcare professions, the healthcare plans, and the treatments available, and looking for alternatives that are not only safe and effective, but are plant-based. They're holistic. They're organic. they're lab tested and safe. So I'm not here to say give your children marijuana. No, I don't want that. No one wants that. That's why we card everybody in our dispensary, because in our dispensary, like every other cannabis dispensary, it's 21 and older. But that doesn't mean that children cannot use these non-impairing compounds. Obviously, Epidiolex is federally regulated and scheduled for those children with those extreme seizure disorders. Here's one for my nurses. A study came out just 3 days ago that says using a CBD-infused pillowcase had led to improved sleep quality for nurses. I work with a lot of nurses. I used to work with a lot of nursing students. Thank goodness I don't do that anymore, because education is horrible, just like working in a healthcare environment is horrible. Nurses are looking to jump ship. And nurses are obviously taking their stress home, their anxiety, and it's now rolling into poor sleep quality. They bring their poor sleep back to work, and now we run into a risky situation, because if you're operating on just a few hours of sleep, you got terrible sleep the night before, you're more prone likely to be making medical errors, which are the number three cause of death in the United States.
Yeah.
So when you think about studies like this, they're not even ingesting this cannabinoid called CBD. They were spraying it on their pillowcase. They did this for 3 weeks in this study. Not only did it improve the quality of sleep for these nurses who did shift work, that's another variable thrown in the model, because, you know, you could be working day shift, and then all of a sudden next week you're flipped to night shift. You're working weekends, you're working holidays, you're working 24/7, because the nursing staff is the largest budget for every hospital system, because you have to have your nurses for your patients. So not only did CBD-infused pillowcases improve the quality of sleep for nurses, it also decreased their anxiety and depression. You have happier sleep quality nurses working now in your hospital system. Not even ingesting it, not causing any impairment or intoxication, just spraying the CBD on your pillow. So, of course, I saw this 3 days ago. I'm like, I'm going to start spraying CBD on my pillow. I'll report back in 3 weeks. But this seems to be just another modality that we're now going to have to investigate. Why is this happening? What's going on in this physiological effect? Is this a placebo effect? Did this just, you know, nurses are just so tired and they're willing to try anything? So, again, we're looking at how did these compounds get into the bodies of these nurses, and then what went on to help them with reducing anxiety and depression while at the same time improving their quality of sleep. The science is developing, and we call these rabbit holes. Every time a rabbit hole opens up and you begin, you know, following that rabbit trail, you discover even more, because again, we're back to, there are so many compounds in cannabis that this is a researcher's lifetime ambition, is to study every compound and what it does and how to provide it safely. The last study I want to review or talk about before we close for tonight's show is something else that has been seen and being very effective in our dispensary. This just came out again today. An ointment with the compounds CBD, so you've heard me just talk about CBD, and CBG, another cannabinoid. These two compounds, when paired together topically, putting it on the skin, can effectively treat the symptoms of eczema. CBG is a very, very popular compound in my dispensary, in our Hemp Haven, and you probably have never heard of it. CBG stands for cannabigerol, one of the 150-plus compounds to date that we've discovered in marijuana, mainly found in the hemp plant. But we have found that CBG is an extremely beneficial anti-inflammatory. The potency studies suggest that it is more potent than steroids, helping bring down inflammation wherever it lies, but especially in the neurological system, making it an ideal treatment option for neuropathy. It's safe, it's non-intoxicating, non-impairing, and we now know that when we pair two or more of these compounds, in this case, CBD with CBG, and applying it topically to the skin, we now are affecting the skin disorders like eczema. the science is just overwhelming. I sometimes definitely get overwhelmed because I want to know which rabbit hole do I need to talk about today, especially in our podcast or now on the radio show, but especially in our dispensary when our cannabis nurses are privy to all of this evidence-based research, and then we help our populations, we educate them, we provide recommendations that are safe, knowing that everything that we offer in our dispensary has been lab-tested. It has been ruled out for any harmful effects, and it's made from hemp grown and processed in the United States by American companies. This is what's available to our communities. They just might not know it yet, but cannabis nurses are here. I recognize that our duty first is to educate our population and our healthcare providers, which is why I've been on this cannabis train for a decade. And I hope to be on a decade more. I know that we have more discoveries to make. We have more knowledge to develop. We have more safety to impart to our community, because the number one tenet, the number one rule in cannabis as medicine is very simple: harm reduction. We are not going to cause any more harm, which is why we begin with a cannabis nurse consult to figure out where each individual is. Are they coming from a place? Are they Willie Nelson? Or are they a newbie, right? And we want to help our populations, especially those individuals who want to either reduce or replace pharmaceuticals, and we're developing the knowledge on how to do that as well.
So what do you think? If you're hearing her for the first time, you like what she's talking about, she'll be back with us in 1 month, Dr. Denise Foster, first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. here on WNIS. And in the meantime, check out the podcast, or the podcast, as I call it, Cannabis Nurse Truths. That's at CannabisNurseTruths.com or on all major podcast platforms, or go see her in person. Get that cannabis consultation. Hemp Haven. Hemp Haven Wellness Dispensary, right below the Virginia, North Carolina border, 726 Carrotoke Highway, Route 168 in Moyock, North Carolina. She is open 7 days a week, Sunday through Wednesday, 11 a.m. till 7 p.m., Thursday through Saturday, 11 a.m. till 8 p.m. You can visit her online, hemphavenwellness.com, and the phone number, 757, or rather, it's 252 now, isn't it? 252-340-3557. That's 252-340-3557. Hemphavenwellness.com. Dr. D, always good to see you.
Thank you so much. Everybody be well. Thanks for listening, and come talk to us about your cannabis questions.
News Talk 790 WNIS.